This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 9 a.m. Club. Your next chance to win $1,000 is coming up this hour, just like Jacob and Euless. Crosstalk with Ben and Skin at 9:40 after Mickey Spagnola. Two audio clips from former Cowboy wide receivers. The first coming from T.O. Now, T.O. called out Jason Garrett after the Cowboys lost to the Jets, saying, "Hey, Jerry, I tried to tell you, you're going to fire him yet?" He then went on the game in San Francisco and doubled down on J.G.Z. and High Five Gate.
"I've been saying it since 2009 when they got rid of me, when I was playing lights out, the best football that I was playing, and they got rid of me. So why don't Jerry Jones take that same approach and see that he is not the answer? He's not doing a great job with those guys and the talent that he has in that locker room. There's no way that they should be playing the way that they're playing. Trust me, I've seen memes, I've seen clips. When I see video of players coming off the field, not even acknowledging the head coach, he's trying to give them dap or encourage them. When I see that from players, that lets me know that they are not with Garrett. All Jerry Jones needs to do is look at that clip. Those players are not with Garrett. And I guarantee if he made a change right now, it would probably rejuvenate that locker room. Whoever comes in, if they get rid of him, I guarantee you they may go on a six-game winning streak because there's something that, trust me, Garrett is not the answer, bro. I'm telling you, I was in that locker room. Those guys, for whatever reason, they got rid of me, and the same with Dez, the same with Wade Phillips. I don't know why they think that Jason Garrett's the answer."
All right, listen, El Dorado. You were not playing lights out at top of your game. That's revisionist history. Let's just start there. So you completely negate everything you say by flat out misrepresenting exactly how bad you were before they got rid of you. And I loved you when you played here. In 2007, T.O. was amazing. Then in 2008, his touchdowns go from 15 to 10. All right, that's one. His first downs go from 67 to 38. His receptions per game drop a full one reception. His yards per game from 90 to 65. His catch percentage from 57 to 49. Everything dropped off the map. T.O. could not get open. He could not get off a press coverage. That was it. If you press T.O., it was over in 2008, his last year here. And they got rid of him in the offseason. So they didn't get rid of you because you were at the top of your game. They didn't get rid of Dez because he was at the top of his game. They got rid of those you and Dez because at the time, there was a little bit of a drop-off, right? That was the same reason with Dez.
Yeah. Getting rid of Dez was justified. I mean, there is a reason that the rest of the league wasn't clamoring for Dez before he got hurt.
Right. And T.O. was 35 years old in his last year here. And then he went to Buffalo. Like, Buffalo is the outpost of the league. If nobody else wants you, you go to Buffalo. If somebody wanted you, you would have gone to Indianapolis or Denver or New England or, at, let's see, 2009. The Saints would have had you.
How could you tell that the Cowboys under Wade quit? How could you tell?
Boy, if you watch that game in Green Bay, you saw it. They gave up. They lost like 34-7. They didn't even they got run out of the building.
So if the Cowboys pull a second half like they've done the first halves against Green Bay and the Jets, if you see that in the second half, what we've seen the last two first halves, will you have said that's the same thing?
Yeah, maybe.
It's one of the toughest things to do is to say, "Hey, look, they quit." You can see it. And the Garrett defenders have said they haven't quit because they responded and came back in the second half. So is that as simple as it gets, that you just need to see that first half performance in the second half?
Well, look, that Cowboy team also had just lost their fifth straight. So we're more than halfway there. They lost to Tennessee 34-27. That made them 1-3. At Minnesota by 3. Home to the Giants by 6, 41-35. That's when Romo got hurt. Romo got hurt in that game. And they lost to Jacksonville 35-17 and then 45-7 at Green Bay. But again, like, that team also had a reason to quit. Their quarterback was out. And their quarterback was not coming back for the rest of the year. So they had a reason to quit. They could see the writing on the wall. This team doesn't have that reason. They've got their quarterback. They've got their running back. They have their highly paid defensive end. They've got their newly paid linebacker. I don't know that this team has a reason. That team had a reason to quit, and their head coach was someone that was probably undermined already.
Michael Irvin, 24 hours ago, was on with us, and he said, half jokingly, maybe you go out and get Antonio Brown for a few games. Mike got destroyed for that yesterday, by the way. I didn't know he would get that killed on Twitter in the Autoflex Team Fan Tax. And the other audio clip is our boy Tony Casillas on Jason Garrett. This is from DraftKings.com. Should JGZ be on the hot seat?
I think he should. You know, one thing with someone like Jason Garrett, he's been here for a decade, and everything's measured around here and for so many years, because it's been that long, since 20-something years since the Cowboys have been back in the Super Bowl, is what are you doing postseason play? And I hate to say this, because I like Jason. He's a great dude. He's been here 10 years, made a lot of money. But a lot's going to be it's going to be riding on this game. And for me, I said this during the regular season, if he doesn't go to the NFC Championship game this year, there's no way Jerry brings him back and extends his contract.
The odds came out yesterday from Bet Online. I tweeted them. Hopefully you didn't look or you forgot. The number one coach to leave his position is?
I would say Dan Quinn.
Dan Quinn at 3-2. So he's the favorite to lose his job next, followed by?
It'll probably be Jason.
Jason is tied with somebody in the AFC.
Vrabel?
No.
No.
Vrabel's 4-1. He is close.
Marone?
Nope. Marone's 5-1. Close.
Okay. AFC. Tomlin?
AFC. Who's the Cowboys of the AFC?
Anthony Lynn.
So Dan Quinn 3-2, Anthony Lynn and Jason Garrett 3-1, then Vrabel, then Marone, then Freddie Kitchens. Those are the odds.
Okay.
Would it be better for the Cowboys to be on the road this week? If you go by the NFL so far, yeah. Road teams are doing work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Road teams are 49-39 this year.
49-39.
Yikes. 49-39.
Now, the terrible teams are really contributing heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you have the Bucks, Chargers, Seahawks, Titans, Redskins, Ravens, Bengals, and Browns have not covered a spread at home all year. That's for gambling purposes.
Wow.
Whoa.
They're a combined 0-21-1 in those games at home. They haven't covered a spread at home all year long. So that's insane. Seattle's 0-3 at home against the spread.
Yeah, teams this year at home are being outscored by over a point per game, which doesn't seem like a lot, but it is. I mean, that's reducing the home field home field advantage from a point spread perspective. Like, the average is usually 2.5 to 3, and that's dropping to about 1.5 now.
This note from Goose Gosselin, 10 years ago, the NFL average, we talk about the penalty issues, 10 years ago, they averaged 11.8 penalties a game for 97 yards, all right? So basically 12 penalties for 97 yards. That was 10 years ago. 5 years ago, 13 penalties for 111 yards. This year, 15 penalties for 124 yards.
Wow.
Going up every 5 years. That's the way it's been going. Now, rest of the NFL. Let's see what the true experts think in Vegas from Bet Online. Favorites to win the Super Bowl are?
I would say it's got to be New England number one.
It is New England at 11-4, followed by?
I'll stick with Kansas City.
Who do you think?
Yeah, I'll say Kansas City.
Incorrect. It is the Saints at 7-1, then the Chiefs at 8-1.
Okay.
After that.
Are they going to put San Fran there?
They are.
Ooh.
San Fran went from 16-1 to win it all to 10-1. Then?
Green Bay.
You're right. Green Bay 12-1. I'm just not.
Not sold on them.
I'm not sold on them because the offense to me is still not. Now, again, it's tough to judge them offensively without Devontae Adams.
Bingo.
But still, I feel like they're going to be one of these teams that we say they were on the right side of the 3-point wins. And, yeah. Like, to me, everything's rolling right for them.
Yeah, like, but let's be, you
they're,
guys.
They're improved defensively. Jamal Williams took over the other day when Aaron Jones was struggling. Aaron Jones had been balling. We know that more than anyone. Aaron did make some super throws the other night against Detroit, but I feel like all the luck is rolling Green Bay's way.
But did you think they got lucky to win that game against Detroit?
Yes.
Like, that was a horrible call.
Detroit
right?
controlled that game. Not horrible calls.
Yeah.
Horrible calls.
Have you ever seen a hand to the chest get called?
Well, Trey Flowers has never had it called in his career.
Right.
It happened twice.
Twice.
But they were still, I mean, it was
a good game.
They were even.
Yeah.
Detroit was the better team.
Correct. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that. I think Green Bay is getting a little bit lucky. But, I mean, they are winning these close games.
All right, so if Green Bay is 12-1 to win the Super Bowl, I'm going to have you guess the Cowboys.
25-1.
Dead on. 25-1. Here we go with the teams above them. Stop when you hear tremendous value. Ravens, Eagles, and Seattle are 16-1. Carolina and Houston are 20-1. The Cowboys are tied with the Bears, the Rams, and the Vikings at 25-1.
Okay, I think there's good value with, you said, who was 20-1 with, who were the
Carolina
teams?
And Houston.
Houston's good value. I think the Rams and Vikings are good value.
I agree. Throw down some money on the Rams. Everyone's selling the Rams right now.
Yeah, I'll buy the Rams.
If they can
man.
Fix their offense, if they can get Goff back on the right track.
I mean, what about the addition of Jalen Ramsey? Are they not taking that into effect?
Everyone's selling on Goff. Everyone is bailing on Goff.
Okay, here you go. Here
Drop
you go.
Boy.
He is relying heavily on Cooper Kupp.
I got something for you on Jared Goff. Last year, opposing defenders entered the 5-foot halo in Goff's field of vision. The 21st highest time. This year, it's up to the 6th most.
What are you saying? What? Halo vision?
So.
What?
There you go.
We're not time for
all this. Last year, opposing defenders entered a 5-foot halo around Goff. 5 feet.
Okay.
The 21st most time in the league. So, not a lot.
You're right.
This year, it's the 6th.
Yeah.
His offensive line has been trash this year.
Yep.
What's his name? Whitworth has been bad.
People are bull rushing him.
Yep. It's not Goff. It's the line. He's got no time to throw. Same problem for Dak. Dak's in the same boat this year.
Troy, who is at the bottom?
Who is at the bottom? All right, let's think of the worst teams. Well, one of them beat the Cowboys. So are they at the bottom? I'm going to say, first of all, it's Miami. Miami's the worst.
Miami is the worst.
All right.
They're tied with someone else.
That would be Washington as the worst.
Nope. Washington is third worst.
Then the Bengals.
Yes. Bengals and Dolphins are tied. They're still on the board to win the Super Bowl. What are the odds?
700 to 1.
2,000.
Worst.
Oh, God.
5,000.
5,000 to 1. Ha! You can't even put a dollar on it. It's almost
no,
over.
You can't.
5,000 to 1. The Redskins are 1,000 to 1. Who is the favorite in the NFC East to win the division from BetOnline?
Even money. Not even money. Cowboys and Eagles are tied.
They are tied. Somebody read maybe a prep email.
Nope.
1-1 and
nope. I would never.
1-1 and 1-1 for the NFC East. So those are some of the odds. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. You have any other division you're interested in? Green Bay is the favorite in the North. The Saints are the favorite in the South. San Fran, man, it's close in the West. San Fran, then Seattle, then the Rams. Guess the Patriots' odds to win the East.
1-25.
1-20. Well done. Ravens are the favorites in the North over Cleveland. It's tight in the AFC South. Texans, then the Colts, then Jacksonville, but it's close. And then Kansas City, Oakland, L.A., Denver.
Ooh.
There you go.
All right. Autoflex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053 from the 469. Good little thought on the home field advantage not being as big this season. This is analytics at work. Home field has always been about travel, and now teams are learning how to minimize the effects of travel on fatigue.
Good point. Very good point. All right. When we come back, are they going to be missing both tackles and Amari Cooper? Brian Broaddus thinks so.
We'll find out.
Mickey Spagnuolo, the Godfather. Let's see if he goes off on T.O. For what he had to say. Spagnuolo, the Crosstalk with Ben and Skin. Next.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Man, let's see if Ben Rogers was around the Marion Barber arrest that took place yesterday. We'll get to that in Crosstalk at 9:40. Sean and RJ joined by Mickey Spagnuolo, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas from DallasCowboys.com. Good morning, Mickey.
Good morning.
It sounds like the Cowboys are going to be missing a lot of players for Sunday night.
Well, you know, I was checking around yesterday. There's only a couple guys right now that they're pretty sure won't play. I'm going to go alphabetical for you, all right?
All right, these guys are – they're pretty sure these guys will not
play. So these guys are on the injury report. Dorrance Armstrong left the game kind of with a neck injury.
Yeah.
He's going to make it back. He was running yesterday. He was limited in practice. He had his pads on. I don't know. I don't think he did much, but it looks good for him. I think Anthony Brown with the hamstring – is out. Randall Cobb has a pretty good chance to be back. They need to see him practice at least one day this week if he's going to go. Lael Collins, and this one kind of surprised me, he's kind of questionable right now. He's pushing real hard to get back, so they're going to see where that one goes during the week. The Amari Cooper one, they're somewhat worried about because he didn't complain evidently last week about it, and then he plays three plays and he can't go.
Ugh.
So he's going to have to prove that he can go or at least practice before they send him out there again. Because, you know, what happened last week was, you know, okay, I'm good, and then three plays I'm out, and then Devin Smith was inactive. They needed another outside guy. They kept Cedric Wilson active because they knew Cobb wasn't going to go, so he can play in the slot and help on special teams. Well, if they had known, you know, that he was iffy, they would have kept Devin Smith up. So that one they're going to keep an eye on. Travis Frederick missed. It wasn't injury related, so he should be good. Byron Jones has a chance to get back. One problem that kind of cropped up, and he was listed as limited, you know, we've been worried about Zach Martin's back, but on the injury report, it also says ankle, and evidently that's been bothering him. And then Tyron Smith with the ankle, I think he's questionable at best. I think they're hoping one of the two offensive tackles can make it. They think one of the two cornerbacks can make it, and they're hoping that one of the two wide receivers can make it. So that would lessen the worry going in than having like your two starting offensive tackles missing, two of your top three wide receivers missing, two of your top three cornerbacks missing. That becomes problematic at best.
How hurt is Philly?
You know what? They're in somewhat trouble also. I was looking here on their injury report, and they've got seven guys that did not practice, and a bunch of them are their starters. Nigel Branham, starting linebacker. Fletcher Cox, starting defensive tackle. DeSean Jackson hasn't got back into practice with his ab yet. Timmy Jurgen, starting defensive tackle. Didn't practice. Avante Maddox, still in concussion protocol, and I don't think they think he's going to go. Jason Peters was out with a knee, and he may be out. Now, they're making a big deal that, you know, Jalen Mills practiced for the first time with that foot injury that he suffered way back last year. But he's on PUP, and they haven't activated him yet. So we'll see where that one goes. And then there are other starting, and I mentioned Darby, I think, right? Or if I didn't, he didn't practice either. So last week when they on their at cornerback, they had Sidney Jones and Rasul Douglas out there, and those guys got toasted. I mean, you know what we've been saying about Kirk Cousins, right? He throws for 333 yards and four touchdowns against him. So, and those guys gave up the touchdowns. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Cowboys do it, you guys, because, you know, all of a sudden, if they're hurt at cornerback two, well, can you throw the ball? And then I went back and looked what Zeke did last year against them in the two games. And, you know, I had forgotten this. First game, Zeke went 19 carries for 151 yards and a touchdown, and he had six catches for 36. So 25 touches for 187. And in the second game, he had 28 carries for 113. Now, remember, that was an overtime game. 12 catches for 79. So that's 40 touches in that overtime game for 192 yards.
Mm.
So which way you want to go? You know, and I think a lot of that will have to do with are my wide receivers healthy, and are my offensive tackles, at least one of them, can I get one of them out there to play to help protect the quarterback?
Sean, one thing on Jason Peters. He has taken himself out or been injured in 14 of the last 24 games.
Wow.
You think he's done, like, in his mind?
I mean, that would signify you're either done or you're incredibly fragile, right?
Well, yeah.
He's up there in age.
But he's getting up there in age, and, you know, does he – I mean, how badly does he want to play? You know, that's what it comes down to a lot of times with these guys when they're a little bit older.
I was reading your column, and you were pointing out how Philly starts compared to us and our bad starts to games.
Yeah, how about that? It's like a disease out there.
Yeah.
They've trailed by at least 10 points in five of their six games. So they've fallen behind, too, now, and then they caught up in a bunch of one. And the only one they didn't fall behind in, the Jets.
Oh, too soon, too soon.
Well, that was – hang on, that was Luke Falk, different game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so, you know, they've had trouble at the starts of game. Oh, they fell way behind Minnesota, and then they started with a comeback. But, you know, they weren't very good in that game. I think, you know, these teams are kind of alike on, you know, obviously their record and slow starts, turnovers, and injuries. I mean, they've got the injuries, you know, and I know, and I keep saying this, we talk about the injuries all week, then you get the result in the game, and it's like, well, the injuries don't matter. You know, you got to overcome. Well, sometimes they do matter, and it does matter on how you call the game and you know, how you line up. You know, if you run on first down, by the way, RJ.
You better not run on first. That's the worst down to run on. Why is this so hard for people to understand?
Because you know why to get your quarterback killed? Because your offensive tackles can't block.
Well, if they can't pass block, they probably can't run block either.
No, actually, you know what? When I was watching some of that, their run blocking was a little bit better than their pass sets.
But where's Zeke's holes? He was terrible.
Well, they weren't there, but he still managed 100 yards last week, right?
It's a volume, Mickey.
It's volume?
Yes. He got 100 yards because he got 100 carries.
No, he did not.
He averaged less than 4 yards a carry.
Well, but at least you didn't get your quarterback killed.
Yeah,
they did get the quarterback killed.
Well, almost.
He went to the concussion tent.
So then, how do you balance that then? What you got a different play? Like if you don't run or pass, what do you do?
Well, you pass. That's what you do.
You pass.
You ball out quicker.
Oh, okay. Well, and that's right. And they did. And then everybody complains that they didn't take any shots down the field.
Well, that's
well, there's
fine.
A reason for that, right?
I can understand that. You know,
there's a reason for starting or going too much, so much tight ends. Because you're trying to help those tackles out.
That's fine. Do more of that. That's great.
You're good with that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Even if Jason Witten's playing a lot?
I'd rather Jason not play a lot.
Well, you know what? Jarwin played more, too. That was the most he'd play. But a lot of that had to do with they're going two tight ends to kind of help out with the blocking.
Good stuff, Mickey. Thank you.
Sure thing. I'll be here tomorrow.
Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. In case you missed it, Pro Football Reference came out with some numbers, and Dak Prescott In terms of the best percentage throws of the year, number four. The four worst in terms of bad throw percentage, Josh Rosen, Jared Goff, Pat Mahomes, and Wentz. And the best, Derek Carr, short passing, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, and Dak Prescott. And they also put out a drop pass percentage. Dak is getting screwed there, right?
Yeah, big time.
Number two?
Well, he's tied for third because there's two guys tied for first.
Ah.
Teddy Bridgewater, Josh Rosen have 8.3% of their passes dropped. Dak with 7.6% tied with Baker. So he's getting a little screwed. You know, that's
Michael
that's,
Gallup, Amari Cooper.
Yeah, you know, the perception on Baker is he's having a bad year, which he's not having a great year, but he is not getting helped out either. You know, some of that's a little luck.
And then ESPN did their ratings for pass rushers. Robert Quinn, number one amongst DNs and outside linebackers. And Tank, number nine. So there's another example or a case of, are you going to trust your eyes or the calculator? Because on the calculator, Tank comes in at number nine. Top D tackles, Aaron Donald, one. Malik Collins, number four for pass rushing. And then pass blocking, you have Lael and Tyron, 7 and 8. No guards for the Cowboys. No surprise that Connor Williams isn't on there, but no Zach Martin amongst the top 10. No Travis Frederick amongst the top 10 centers. And then as a team, the best pass rushing teams, the Cowboys number three. That would probably surprise you, right? Wow. Behind Tampa Bay and Baltimore. And the top team in pass blocking, the Cowboys are number seven. So that's what the numbers are saying.
Man versus machine.
Man versus machine.
That's
I love
what
it.
My that's man Clarence Carter came with that one, sent me a text.
Perfect.
Man versus machine.
Jamal Charles did this Bleacher Report playing pool story thing. I'm sure they have a better name than what I just named it right there.
And I like it. Bleacher Report playing pool sort of thing.
I forgot what
that's the greatest day of all time.
I forgot what the name of it is. But Jamal was talking, the former Longhorn, was talking about being in Kansas City and how Larry Johnson was a hazer. And Jamal had forgotten to bring like Larry and the vets lunch one day. And Larry took all of his clothes and threw it in the shower. And Jamal's like, I got to fight this guy now. And he was crying. He was like, I don't want to fight him. He's real big. He's Larry Johnson. But Jamal had called up his mom and his girlfriend. He's like, I'm going to hit Larry Johnson over the head with my helmet. I'm gonna break Larry Johnson's head with my helmet. And ultimately got talked down. Well, there was another teammate, a rookie, who didn't provide the right hazing for Larry. Larry slashed his tire.
Jeez.
Yeah.
God.
Larry Johnson slashed his tire.
I think I dated Larry Johnson.
When we come back, crosstalk with Ben and Skin. And Skin wants to argue with me about Zeke Elliott.
What?
That Zeke hasn't lost it.
Okay.
Let's crosstalk with Ben and Skin and see if Ben was on hand or close to the Marion Barber arrest yesterday. Coming up next. Bad news for us that Ben and Skin are not in studio. Great news for you because you can go and eat lunch with them today in Grapevine. Sean and Choppy back with us. Crosstalking with Ben Skin and KT here on 105.3 The Fan. Good morning, boys. Where are you?
Boys, we are coming to you live from Pluckers in Grapevine. We'd invite our listeners to come join us today, bring their whole office, all your coworkers. We'd love to meet you. We get to talk a little bit during commercial breaks, take pictures and whatnot, and we want to pack the place today at Pluckers in Grapevine, Sean.
What's coming up on the program?
Well, we've got a lot of Cowboys chatter, obviously, getting ready for a massive game Sunday night, and it's become a Thursday tradition unlike any other. KT's Red Band trailer, and this is
what is that?
No one knows exactly what it is, but KT has a way of prepping people for the Cowboys' opponent better than anyone on the planet, and he'll do that today at 1 o'clock.
Red Band?
Yeah.
What is
like a Red Band trailer, like when a trailer for a movie comes out and the rated R version, okay? So
you
can have the normal trailer or a Red Band trailer, which has cuss words in it, nudity. Adult content, all that stuff. A Red Band trailer is one of those things where it's got explicit content in it.
Like Sean, when you see a movie trailer and it's green at the beginning, this one's red,
Because it has bad words and naughty visuals.
Okay. Ben, how far away were you from the Marion Barber arrest yesterday?
Man, I didn't even realize that happened up in Prosper. Skin was telling me about it today. And when I saw the mugshot, I first of all, felt bad for Marion Barber. Yeah. He's struggling. And, you know, kind of we were kind of talking about cold, lifeless shark eyes, you know, really hard to tell what's going on behind those. But
yeah.
I didn't recognize him. You know, I don't know that I've ever seen him without dreads. And do you know where that was in Prosper?
No, I know it was for criminal mischief, booked into the Denton County Jail. I also know it probably is going to reduce your property value at Life Farms.
All right, let me tell you something. Nothing's touching that property value, sir.
All right, I'm pretty sure he was arrested at Dion's Kroger. Is that still a Kroger? What is that?
Yes, that is a Kroger. They built a giant Kroger strip center, the best Mexican food restaurant in town, on Dion's land.
Really?
Yeah.
He used to have a giant, before anything was out there in Prosper. Giant house, giant land, had his own fishing pond on it. And then he realized, man, I kind of need to be a billionaire to maintain all this, so I'm going to sell it.
I'd like an order of those primetime enchiladas.
And it became a Kroger.
Okay.
Man, there's some disturbing Marion Barber history where he entered a church with a loaded 9mm handgun and three magazines. And
oof. And it was like, what was the magazine? Like Nun's Life.
Stop it. He doesn't mean those kind of magazines.
Okay. 2014. Yeah, 2014.
So my understanding on this is that he was arrested in Prosper but then taken to Denton on something that happened in 2018, right? Like,
yes.
I don't think he was doing criminal mischief in the in the Prosper.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. Property value back.
Because I didn't know Denton. Prosper was in Denton.
Yes.
So there you go.
All right.
Yeah.
Would you like to debate Zeke, Jeffrey?
Yeah, sure. Okay. I would absolutely like to do it. And I think, you know, when we get into these conversations, we start getting into what do we mean with these terms. We originally had this discussion. I reacted to you, and this goes back a couple months, right? You saying that Zeke was not a special back.
Yes.
Which is that's what I agree with, or disagree with. He is a special back. He can do things that a lot of these guys can't do. What you're saying is you feel like he's lost a little bit of pop.
Yes.
And therefore, he's quote-unquote not special anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
I would disagree that he's not special. I think he does enough different kinds of things that he's still a special back.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you could even make the argument from year two to his rookie year, he lost a little bit of pop. I mean, I think that's the style of back that he is. But he's got enough in his repertoire to where he can do things that other guys can't do. And the argument I would use on that is even – and the other thing, too, is he does – big things at special times. The best example I could give you of the specialness of Zeke is first and 25 after a Garrett penalty, that over-the-shoulder catch he made with two or three guys hanging on him.
Yep.
The guys that can make that catch, there's not that many, but the guys that can make that catch also can't go and deliver the block he delivered on Dak's touchdown against the Jets last week. I mean, I think that's a linebacker that he destroyed. So he does, if you look at the completeness of his game – there's very few guys, really, that have come down the pike in the last 10 years that can do all the different kinds of things that he can do.
So let's all see if we agree before the game in this, you know, pass-happy world, especially want to see if RJ can commit. If they don't have Amari, if they don't have the tackles, are we all okay with giving Zeke a ton of work, even against a Philly secondary that is terrible? No Amari, no tackles.
Yeah, this is such a precarious situation the Cowboys find themselves in. They're going to have a problem passing the ball for sure without those tackles and without Amari. And they just need to try to make sure that Dak doesn't get killed. This might be one of those games where you do hand it to Zeke a million times, even though he's limping on Monday night. And you're like, man, this is our best chance to win this game. We're not going to have Dak back in the pocket on play action, spending a bunch of time back there, holding the ball, being vulnerable. I honestly don't think they have much of a chance either way, but I think they have a better chance if Zeke carries the ball a lot.
One way I would
define
like
a lot.
I mean, more than they pass.
I 28 last week, so 25-ish. Probably the number.
He's going to need to get a ton of touches. Because if they rely on Dak, if the game plan is, hey, Dak's going to have time in the pocket, I don't think they can rely on that.
I would like to give him a jillion touches the same way Roger Craig used to get his touches.
I'm not talking about just handing him the ball and running him in between the tackles every single play. I'd like him to catch more stuff, not only just out in the flat, but more stuff downfield as well. He's your best weapon right now. He's far and away your best weapon. Figure out multiple ways to get him the ball.
I'm more worried about Zeke's dad. Did you guys see the story?
No.
I'm going to read this headline from the New York Post, guys. Ezekiel Elliott's dad could be in a pawful lot of trouble. An African wildcat believed to be owned by the Cowboys star's father terrorized his Ohio neighborhood before it was shot dead by deputies.
Oh, wildcat?
The mid-sized spotted feline, a breed called a serval that can stand 2 feet at the shoulder and weigh up to 40 pounds, was first seen by neighbors on Saturday. Neighbor Jim Zuber and another neighbor watched the leopard-spotted pet roam his front yard. Quote,
"We thought we were keeping an eye on it, and the truth is, it was more stalking us."
Are you sure this wasn't Dak's dad?
Yeah,
it seems like
backfield is very dangerous, with animal watching.
Yeah. Zuber said it had a pet collar on, but looked like it wanted to pounce.
Hey, man.
It was kind of creeping towards us, and as we took a step backward, it would take steps toward us.
Stanley,
and when we made noise to shush it away, it hunched back into a position like it was going to leap forward.
Sounds like the wildcat has really lost its effectiveness in today's game.
Wow.
Good sports joke.
Yep, very good.
Pretty good sports joke, Roy.
So it's out. Zeke's dad's apparently owned a wildcat that's going to – oh, wow. Elliott could face a fifth-degree felony charge if investigators determine he let the dangerous wild animal out intentionally, and a first-degree misdemeanor for not having the animal permitted.
So yeah, you got to keep that thing on a leash when you take it for a walk.
Is it for sure his dad's?
You know, because it's the New York Post. So you got to be careful, right?
Well, I'm just saying. Where did this happen?
Ohio.
Okay, thank God it wasn't in the Metroplex.
Because then he could just move to a different suburb, right?
That's a different guy in the backfield.
Yeah, just bury the animal in another county.
But Zeke's a guy that's on thin ice with Goodell. So I'm just luckily it's not.
Luckily,
it doesn't come back to him.
Kit and caboodle at him.
All right, right.
State investigators have searched the property of Stacy Elliott.
Ooh.
And that's the dad. They searched his property and took pictures for their investigation. I guess this is early this morning or late last night. I guess they searched and took pictures of their. Agriculture Department officials didn't say specifically when they went to Elliott's home, except to say there was significant evidence that the cat was his. Why is he owning a wildcat? You don't
need
a wildcat.
I've wanted a bobcat for a while. I mean, I live out in the country. I thought maybe a lynx would be a good idea. You know, kill all the vermin.
Skin, I had to call Choppy out. Thank you, Kev, for that report.
Thank you.
I had to call Choppy out earlier today because I told him he was looking for a suit, and he spent $500 already on a suit, and he doesn't have the shoes yet. And I said, you should have hit up Bassick or Skin's suit guy.
Yeah.
Man, I have an amazing suit guy. I really do. I have an amazing suit guy that will get you a high quality custom suit fit to your body at a third of the price of most custom places.
If any of you can guess the store that Choppy tried, KT, you're eliminated because you're probably awake. If you can guess the store he tried to go to get the suit, I'll get you a belt from the store.
I know I got it, without question.
All right.
Sears.
No.
Although I did go to the first place I went to was H&M. I was like, I want a $100 suit.
Does Lulu sell suits?
No, I know where you got it. I got it at the Banana Republic outlet store.
Oh!
It was not an outlet. Actually, wait, yes it was. It was a Tanger outlet
store. How did you guess that?
Because RJ likes bananas.
Yeah.
And he's a Republican.
Yep.
No politics.
Especially today, right? That is a it's actually not a bad place.
That's the guy who weighs 120 pounds.
Yeah, they were selling him slim. He went in for a slim fit. He wants a slim fit suit.
Yeah, I got a slim fit suit. And then so it was 50% off, so I got half off.
Oh, my God. You got a $50 suit?
No, it was like, it ought to be like $120.
Half, the top or the bottom?
No, because I had to open a credit card to get an extra 30% off. So I wound up getting like 80% off. I had to open a credit card.
Most people that buy suits at that price range get them purchased by court-appointed attorneys.
That's what I was looking for. It's a one-time suit wear wedding. I had to buy a shirt, though. I got to get a pocket square. I got to get shoes. That's where it's all going to get pricey.
All I know
pricey.
Is this. The single worst financial decision a human can make is to open up a Banana Republic credit card. That is really just, man, you do that and then immediately look at your credit report and it just drops by like 500 points.
Hey, dude, I paid it off and I already canceled it.
I just used it to get the 30% discount.
RJ. So,
why don't you just keep the tags on the suit and take it back then?
Who says I'm not going to do that?
Yeah.
RJ, just the tip here going forward. Tip. And Ben had a rough Groupon experience famously with the Thanksgiving thing, but I've heard from many good sources, if you need a quick one-off suit, something that you don't really want to keep, but it'll do the deal for the day, Groupon, man. You can go get you a suit for about $50 on Groupon, and then you are done.
Why wouldn't you, though? Let me just kind of make one suggestion. Why don't you just own one suit?
Yeah, so
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I am going
to
own the suit.
Go to other things.
The styles change.
I got it tailored, too, so I got it slim fit, so...
Because RJ and I, if you look in our closet, our suits, it's, what do we call it?
Kings of Comedy. I got the T.D. Jakes look going.
Kings of Comedy. Like, we don't wear them as often as Skin does, so we don't need them. We have, like, two suits, and now it looks like
Bernie
Mac.
Well, RJ wears it often when he goes to court, but that's only.
There's a really great joke in that latest Chappelle where he's talking about being at a Democratic convention and seeing Hillary, and she's dressed like Steve Harvey.
Politics. Ben, where are you guys one more time?
All right, we're at Pluckers and Grapevine. We're inviting everyone to come join us. And starting off right off the top, right at 10 o'clock, some fascinating stats about Dak Prescott.
Thank you, boys. Have a good show. Roy, where can you get the Cowboy tickets?
Yeah, going to be at 551 Lawrence Drive in Heath. That is the Tom Thumb location from 4 to 6 today. We'll be giving away two pairs of tickets to see the Cowboys take on the Eagles on Sunday night.
Boom. Picks tomorrow morning. The Troll from Filthy, Howard Eskin at 8. Here comes Ben and Skin on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.